Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome to another episode of the Need to Know podcast. This is 186, and as always, I'm joined by Brenton Johnson. Welcome, Brenton.
Good to be back, Robert.
Brenton tells me that the podcast has suddenly taken upswing because he's come on board. How true is this, Brenton?
Oh, I'd just say we're getting lots of positive feedback from the listeners out there. People have been writing in and talking to me personally and saying how much they love the podcast, which is good. I assume whoever's listening to it right now must get some sort of value out of it between Robert and I guest bagging on. Yeah, it's quite flattering to get that feedback, so keep it coming.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's always good to hear, and we encourage people to continue to contact us either directly or on the show, and I think it's something that I always tend to overlook because we want to finish off. But don't forget, you can, again, contact the show basically on N2KPodcast on Twitter and also the same N2KPodcast in Facebook, and feedback at needtoknow.cloud is a really good way to just send us the traditional emails. And obviously, Brenton's details are at contact Brenton on the Twitters, and mine is at director CIA. So with that, I think that there is plenty to talk about in this episode just on the Microsoft stuff. We've got some interesting interviews coming up, but I think we might just spend a bit of time, as Brenton is wont to say, gasbagging about Microsoft and the new stuff from the cloud. And then hopefully I remember to give myself a bit of a commercial at the end here. But I think that probably the best place that we can start with is why we're all in business is to obviously generate some revenue here. And it is most impressive, the numbers that Microsoft recently announced for its financial performance. So basically, for its last financial year, it has topped $100 billion in revenue. Its last quarter was a net income of $9 billion on revenues of $30 billion. And again, we're seeing the majority of this, I suppose, largely come from the Intelligent Cloud Business Unit, of which is Azure, and that certainly is the star with a jump of 89%. So this cloud thing seems to be pretty profitable, Brenton.
Oh, look, it's and we were just talking about it beforehand, actually, and I found an article from May where it's saying that Microsoft's market cap was $750 billion, and it's just overtaken Alphabet. Now it's at $830 billion. So that's a matter of a few months, and it's gone up another 10%. So if there was ever a doubt in your mind that technology wasn't the best business to be in and that it wasn't profitable, there's something you're not doing right, because a lot of people are, it's a gold rush out there for people who can use this technology to save people time and money. And that's basically why I think Microsoft has such a competitive advantage out there, is because they're in there fixing businesses who have very old and outdated legacy business systems, putting them up into a cloud, moving it away from a device-centric approach to a people-centric approach. You got the leadership in Nadella, which we'll speak about a little bit later, probably after this. But it's it's no surprise to me that the valuation is shooting up as quickly as it is. How do you take it, Robert?
Well, I think it shows that, to Microsoft's credit, it has been around longer than most tech companies such as Google, but it's able to basically recover from many setbacks. So we've seen Microsoft recover from, I suppose, changes in directions, the great internet change that Bill Gates initiated, and Again, in cases where it has lost its way a bit, it has managed to redirect, turn the ship, and really focus and get the priorities right, and then really leverage down. So I think that's what they're doing. I think a lot of that I am very positive on is a lot of it is focus. I think that getting rid of the focus on the mobile, the focus more on business rather than consumer grade, I think is providing real benefits. I think that the technology Microsoft has around the cloud and the approach that it's taking, again, is a winner for businesses, which is its market. So I think this is the real message here is that, yeah, surely you can do everything. You can, I suppose, be an Amazon. Amazon, to an extent, is a bit of everything. But again, Microsoft really is focusing, and it's good to see that, stuff that isn't profitable, that isn't making sense, that they do can it. I mean, it's unfortunate in some cases, but at the end of the day, we want Microsoft to be a strong company and also provide us, good products that have the resources to continue development. I think that's been the secret here, has been the focus ever since the new CEO.
Yeah, and look, I'm a really big fan of Nadella, and I think you hit the nail on the head with focus. I've just finished the Steve Jobs biography, which is quite a read. And the number one thing he did when he walked back into Apple, it's 90 days from bankrupt, and now it's the most profitable company in the world, is he came in and said, if I was buying a computer and I'm this type of person, what computer do I buy from Apple? And no one could give him a straight answer because it was too complicated. So he came in and basically refocused the company. I think Microsoft's made a similar approach where they've come in and said, you know what, if you want to run Linux, if you want to run Android, you want to run iOS, we don't care as long as you run it in Azure, as long as you run it in our cloud, because we know what we're world class at. We know what we can do better than anybody else. We're going to focus on that stuff, which is why you see there's no competitor to Office 365 as it stands.
I think also too, the other thing that people overlook is Microsoft was very strong in the developer area for many years, and then perhaps it became too focused on the Windows side of things. And I think opening that up and doing things like Linux, open source, it's VS Code Editor, all that sort of stuff, embracing, as you say, developers of all sorts to basically get on board and sell Microsoft software or host on Microsoft platforms is really where the strength is. I think that's still got a ways to go, obviously, but having a really good development environment encourages more people to get on board and develop on the software and apply and basically run on products like Azure. So I think that's another big thing that Microsoft has really, really changed its attitude towards is that, we embrace all developers, open source and whatnot. It's still got a ways to go, obviously, but I think that has been a huge change. And the big thing I would point to is the VS Code Editor, which allows you to work in PowerShell, JSON, Node, all this sort of stuff. It's free, it's open source, it gets updated regularly. Really good editor being adopted widely across the community. So again, I think it's really positive what Microsoft's achieving on the number of fronts. It's working to its strengths, which makes sense. And again, it's just cutting away, the dead wood, the stuff that doesn't make sense, and it's profiting from it. And that's clear in its results.
Yeah, well, I think one of the big findings from Inspire is that the amount of sales that are generated by co-selling with Microsoft, or partners going in and co-selling. I think that's one of the things that none of these other tech companies really have. So they don't really have a partner ecosystem. They don't have the MVPs and the regional directors. They don't have any of this ecosystem that sits around the Microsoft products. And you can see how that affects in sales numbers. Like if you have a look at G Suite interest on Google and Microsoft 365, G Suite 6 sits at 1 and 2, and Office 365 is at 96, 98 in the interest search in the trends in Google Trends. So you go, well, why is that the case? And I would argue that it's because they have people on the ground in there understanding the technology, deploying the technology. Yes, they have some advantages in owning the operating systems, and most people have Microsoft already, so there's advantages. But we've seen in the past Novell and other companies be completely disrupted out of existence, Corel, etc. So Microsoft could have been a casualty of that, but I think having such a strong partner relationship and then having the connection to the customers and all of that sort of thing, I think that's what's making them so profitable today. Would you agree with that, Robert?
Yeah, look, I think there are a lot of reasons, but I think that, again, good management now. I think that it's interesting how Satcher's gone about the new role, the way he's quietly worked in the background, done things that make sense. Again, I think having an engineer, a technical person lead the technical company makes a lot of sense. He's put a lot of energy back into it and focus, and I think he's given Microsoft the direction they need, and I think that's really made the difference. So, you know, at its core, yes, all this other stuff we talk about, but I think that leadership change is really the spark, and that's made the biggest difference, and that's now being seen in its results, and I think it will continue to be so going forward. And we did see a lot of that, like you said, at the recent Ignite, the big worldwide partner conference that was held in Vegas. And again, there are three major keynotes that you can go up and watch the full extent of. You can also get a summary, and you'll find that at ignite.microsoft.com, and as always we'll put the links in the show notes so you can go and visit them. I think that again there's probably going to be some summaries around, some things that you can watch just to get the idea. I have sat through and watched all of them myself, and again they were all three slightly different tones. He did the final one on the last day, which again showed a lot of things that he's looking forward to. He's excited about Microsoft, but it also showed, which I thought was interesting, he showed the productivity he used every day with Microsoft technology. So on the phones, on the desktops, how he worked with the devices he's got, I think was a very interesting thing. We got the usual examples of partners coming up and show how they work with customers, and they're using the intelligent cloud and intelligent edge and the opportunity that partners have. So look, overall, not meant much major technical news. Again, I think it's very exciting what Microsoft's doing, but again, it was very impressive to see, and I think they've got a record number of partners attending that from all around the world. So what sort of takeaways have you seen from the the Inspire sessions?
I think probably As I start to listen to it and go through it, it's the completeness of the vision. So one of the things that I think separates Nadella from most other CEOs is he has a vision around how it should all look, and he pursues the vision. And you start to see all the apps starting to work together. We're not quite there, but everything seems to be making a lot more sense now. It's kind of like a blurry picture when you start, and it just keeps focusing to the point where you can almost see the whole picture. So, I think with Microsoft 365 and the security coming in, managing, the user identity rather than devices now, and really that whole vision has really started to focus as this, particularly this year, but even more so with Ignite. So one of the things that's been released recently is the Microsoft Whiteboard is now generally available. And it doesn't seem like much, but when you're trying to brainstorm, when you're trying to be innovative and you have a Microsoft stack, 5 years ago, there wasn't anything like that. Now, we're starting to see these sorts of tools, and it might be a small tool, but I can tell you what, if you're trying to run a meeting across two meeting rooms and you want to be all on the same page, having a digital whiteboard and a Surface Hub or something like that's just going to be a complete game changer for you. So I think these are the sorts of things that I'm really impressed with when I start to see, even though it seems like such small stuff compared to, the big challenges that they're solving. But that everyday customer experience stuff, everyday stuff that they're doing, that's what's going to really compel people to engage with the product and to work with the product. So that was one of the things I particularly liked. Did you have any other?
Well, speaking of Whiteboard, I've been using Whiteboard for a while, and I agree with you. It's really good, and the way it integrates Office 365. However, I can't wait for the iOS and Android apps. That's sort of, to me, the missing component. So I can do it on my mobile, I'll view it on my mobile. But speaking to what you're talking about there is the fact that it generates this excitement. So they put it out, and then you've got to wait for the iOS, and then, it's a lot of little increments, but they are exciting increments. They fill in the gaps, and I think, like I said, you can see the direction. They're not Generally, again, causing confusion. There probably still is, but what I see is, again, they're filling in the gaps, they're doing things that make sense, which I think is the real benefit, and they're integrating it all now around the Office 365 side for the businesses, and then we've got the Azure side for the developers and also for the usage and consumption for, you know, high-end applications, machine learning. And I think the other thing too, which is interesting, is Microsoft seems very keen to take sort of the leading role or one of the leading roles when it comes to artificial intelligence. So one of the things they're sort of talking about at the moment is this concept of a Geneva Convention. So the idea of, okay, what happens when artificial intelligence has to make decisions that involve humans? What's going to happen here? How's that going to be treated? Again, it's sort of, a lot of people would probably blow that off, but, you know, again, Microsoft, I think, has got to look forward and say, you know, this we see this as a potential issue down the track. So I think that vision side of it as well is very important for, you know, Microsoft's got to take a risk, it's got to bank on some technologies and paying off, and it's doing pretty well. I think it's never going to be 100%, but generally I think it's doing what makes sense, and it's bringing it to customers. And I think, for example, the latest I've heard, for example, there was talk about a Surface phone. Panos Panay basically came out and said, no, that's not happening, it doesn't make sense, there isn't a niche for it in the market. But again, Microsoft released that new Surface Go, which seems to make more sense. So I think that's what we're going to see. I think it's going to be an improvement. It's very exciting, and it's good to see them filling in the gaps. And again, all these stuff rolling out on multiple platforms just makes adoption and acceptance so much easier.
Yeah, and I think you're dead on there. Where you could go, okay, well, Microsoft could probably make a phone as good as an Android, right? But if you're really going to go and compete head-to-head with an open-source operating system like Android that has a market saturation of 80%, you want to be 10 times better than Android. You don't want to be just as good as Android, only it's got a Microsoft sticker on it. And I think that's what Microsoft's realized. They now go, no, wait, we can integrate better with Android. We'll live with this for the time being. Maybe we'll tackle it as a bigger problem in the future. But look at all these other places where we can make significant gains. So Microsoft Teams, which I think will be a good segue, is a good example of that. Google has no solution to Slack at the moment, and Microsoft's come out with Teams. It's been out. It's working. People live around it. Nadella talked about how he lives in Microsoft Teams and how it's his whole life now. And now they're making it free. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, so they've announced a free version of Microsoft Teams. You'll basically need typically a Microsoft account or an email that isn't associated with a commercial tenant that includes Teams to sign up. I've set up a free Microsoft Teams, so if you're interested, just send me an email, director@CIAOps, or hit me up on the Twitter, and I can sign you up to that team. So again, you get basically all the features, all the functionality. There's some pieces missing. You get 10 gigs to start with in storage space. You get 2 gigs for each additional user, up to a maximum of 300 users. There's some features around the meetings, and some of those capabilities are not there. It's an easy upgrade path, and I think that it basically is a really good product, really handy for associations, not-for-profits, those sort of people who just might need to, or the local cricket club, to connect. Behind the scenes, it's effectively a full Office 365 tenant. That obviously has limitations on what it can and can't do. There's a full SharePoint side and all of that in the back end. So very interesting that they've come out and done this and made it free. My understanding, it's free forever. Initially, it was said to be free only for 12 months. We'll see. But at this stage, it's free forever. So if you haven't got one, you want to see what Teams is about without any commitment, you can go and sign up to that immediately. We'll put up the notes in the blog post I put up. But again, if you want to experience that, just again, without having to sign up for it yourself, just again, contact me and I'll sign you up and you can have a play and see what it's like.
Yeah, and I think this is a recognition from Microsoft that everything in SaaS world has a free tier now. It's a good way to get users. One of the advantages Microsoft have over these other SaaS platforms like Slack is they've got a partner network to go out and say, okay, well, now you have Teams, how about we put video conferencing in? Oh, how many $100 a month is that going to be per user? Oh, no, just Skype for Business, you know? And they're like, what? So, you know, that's a great opportunity for you guys to go out there and people, oh, I don't want to go to Office 365, blah, blah, blah. And instead of the complicated email migration, maybe you can go in and lead with, let's just get marketing team up and going in teams. We'll show you how it all works. They'll have an agile workspace in order to get things done. Or like Robert said before, maybe it's the cricket club and the guys on the board of the cricket club is one of the guys that you want to bring in. And he's like, holy crap, this is amazing. Why don't we have this at work? And there's your in. So, you know, I think this is a really positive move for Microsoft. And I for one, are quite happy that they're offering it.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes and, you know, who takes it up and whatever. But I think once you use it again, you see that it makes sense. You're right, having a free tier is required, especially when you're competing with an incumbent maybe like Slack or whatever. The bigger ecosystem is what's going to win out. So once you start getting beyond doing the basics, you're going to want the full ecosystem, which is the upsell to Office 365. But again, it's an opportunity to go in there, show what's possible, get people started at no cost, and then grow out from there. So a lot of this transformation stuff is you really need to see it and play with it to understand and get ideas as to how it will work and what it will do for your business. So that is a really good move by Microsoft. And again, like I said, if you want access to the free team I've created, by all means, just let me know and I can give you access. So Microsoft hasn't just been doing nothing but free teams. There's also has been a lot of other product updates. One of the other product update, or any other products and services that has been improving in leaps and bounds, I think, of late is OneDrive. So OneDrive really, really has been on a bit of a tear, adding lots and lots of features. Nothing huge and major, but just again filling in the gaps. So again, it's got the ability now to it will automatically pause when your battery gets low. So if you're running low on battery, the sync will automatically pause until it gets back up to a level that is suitable. Again, you've also got the option to send feedback directly from the app now. So you open up the properties, you'll see there's a send feedback option there, and that's really best way to get your voice heard, I think. You also got an updated activity center. So down the bottom, you'll notice there are three new buttons here to open the folder, view online, and more. So again, more power, more information at your fingertips when it's syncing up to the environment. And what else have we got here? So the month before, they also, or the week before, I think it was, they also did some nice little features here. What have we got here? We've got that it's adding bits and pieces, like I said, to its Android, to its offering here. It's also got the ability to view the original picture. So rather than looking at a optimized image, you can now view the original if you want, the high resolution version if you want. This was the one I was interested in, the weekly trends of access. So you can now look at a file and you can see how many people, well, the one that's been shared from your OneDrive, you can see who's accessed it, how often it's been, who's viewing it, who's reading it. So that's really powerful when you want to understand who's actually accessing your information. And I think another thing that I saw rolling out is that Microsoft is going to start rolling out the full tenant integration with LinkedIn. So basically on the card, when you hover over a user or a contact, you'll be able to see their LinkedIn information as well. So again, lots and lots of things being added to the environment that you really should make sure that you enable and set up, because that really does make the difference in a lot of productivity examples.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think, you know, OneDrive is one of those apps that makes a lot of sense to users. They understand it. You know, there's a low barrier to adoption compared to something like SharePoint, which we discussed last podcast, where we're talking about, yes, SharePoint's great, but you've got to do it properly. OneDrive, you know, it's not that complicated. You roll it out. And now with all the extra additions, especially with the app and, you know, if you're using Office Lens, that thing is amazing for taking photos of whiteboards.
Sorry, Office Lens is now built into the OneDrive app.
Oh, well, there you go. So while you're on the podcast, Robert...
Yeah, I'll make sure that I mention that going forward. I'm sure. Yeah, it's always good to know that there's someone here providing adult supervision. So what we're seeing is like I said, you know, these sort of apps that really make sense, like Office Lens, which allow you to scan a business card or a document or a photo, do OCR on, is being built into OneDrive app, so it can be used directly from there. And that's going to make life so much simpler. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people tend to put these apps on and then leave them or never come back from them. Maybe it doesn't fulfill their need and they don't look at it again. I certainly would encourage you to make sure that you keep up to date with these because they are constantly improving and adding all these sort of features and functionality. And that hopefully is the benefit of you listening in, is you're going to get that up-to-date stuff. But again, if you haven't looked at some of these apps, especially like OneDrive, for example, make sure that you do go back in, update the app on your mobile, have a play with it and see all the features and functionality that it now provides.
Yeah, and like I keep on top of, I think, like maybe 70% of it, maybe, of the big stuff. But one thing that slipped my attention was Cortana. So I'm aware of Cortana. I use calendar.help to schedule meetings. I don't deploy it to customers. I don't really understand what it can do as far as from a business use. Robert's quite a bit more across it than me, but during one of Nadella's talks, he talked about one of the features that saves him every day, and it's called Cortana Commitments. So it scans your Office 365 email, it finds when you promise to do something, and then it reminds you to do it. And he says it saves him every day. So it's an old blog post from March that I've put in there, but if you want to have a read of that and have a bit of a play with it, I was not signed into Office 365 with Cortana as of an hour ago, so I've now put that on there, and I'm going to be having a bit of a play with that, particularly as I take flights and, you know, it will suck information out of that. Quite a big fan of how the iOS app works for Outlook on the iOS. That works really, really well for, you know, contextual showing of information. But yeah, Robert says he uses Cortana for a lot of other stuff. What sort of other stuff are you using it for?
Look, I think the thing is it can potentially read your emails. It can also, you can schedule appointments in it. And again, the good thing I like about it is you can have your screen locked and then you can ask it to give you what's on for today. So as you walk past your desk, you can ask it to give you an idea of what's happening today, what appointments you've got. You can get it to, you know, play music, play tunes. You can do all sorts of things with it. I think that, again, it still is a little bit technical to work with, and it's not, you know, the old Star Trek sort of thing just yet, but we are getting towards those sort of stages. One of the things that I'm working on in the background here is an Office 365 chatbot. So basically you'll be able to go into that and ask it a question and it will come back with an answer to your Office. So how do I create a shared mailbox, or how do I connect to Office 365, SharePoint, whatever. So I'm building that bot, and then that bot will be connected to Cortana so that you can then potentially ask the bot questions and have it feed through and use that sort of Cortana intelligence. Speech recognition, all that sort of stuff as well. So it's very exciting what can be done. It's just a matter of, again, putting the pieces together and understanding how they work and where it can and should be used. We're still probably a little ways off, but again, we're getting closer and closer and closer, I think, to it really making a major difference for those who understand. And I think, as we've talked about, that's the productivity benefit, is to understand some of these tools, and they can certainly save you a huge amount of time. And again, the idea here is once we integrate Cortana with Windows 10 Azure AD connected to Office 365 and Delve and Search and SharePoint at the back end, then it becomes the one tool to rule them all. So if we need to find a file, we can ask Cortana. That can then do a Delve search and give us a result. So that's, I think, one of the big benefits Microsoft brings to the table, is integration from end to end, when obviously correctly configured and set up, but it is extremely powerful when you see it in operation.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that I, for one, welcome our robot overlords. I'm a big subscriber to Robo's Basilisk. So when all the robot Roberts are running around giving people advice on how to run Office 365 correctly, I will be subservient to you. I am here for you. Anything you need, robot from the future.
Well, I think, again, hopefully if I have enough time by the next time we have a podcast, I can let you know how you can have access to the bot that I've created and use it, see what it does. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to answer every single question, but I'm building and putting more and more intelligence in there to try and at least do all the basic questions, help people, again, cover that standard stuff. I find that it's all out there on the net, but For whatever reason, people are struggling to find it. So if, again, if we create a bot focused on that, hopefully that'll answer those sort of questions, and I'll have more news in the upcoming podcast about how you can access that and have a play with it yourself.
Are you going to give it a name, Robert?
Yes, it's already called the N2K bot.
Oh, I thought it was going to call it Robot Robert.
No. If you learn anything in business, you don't tie it to your name. You tie it to a brand.
Okay, fair enough.
So we'll see how we go. Like I said, more information shortly. Just got to tidy up. But basically, the back end is in Azure. It's going to use a lot of the services there. The good thing about this is most of those services can be free, so you can use a free tier, so it's not really going to cost anything. So it's pretty straightforward to set up, and it's going to provide a lot of benefit rather than trolling through search engines looking for that information and hopefully connect it up to some existing databases. So I think that's where a lot of benefit is, and Microsoft, again, is going to give us that ability with Azure as a back end as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right, so what else have we got? Any other things that we can talk about here, Brenton?
Not a great deal. I just had a bit of a thought before. Maybe we should do a podcast around all the free stuff you can do once you've got an Office 365 account, or even the lowest cost stuff. So I'm a big listener of Troy Hunt. I listen to his podcast every week or whenever he does it. And he's basically running a big sort of 8 million requests a day for about $7 a week in Azure because he uses serverless compute. It'd be a good one to have a bit of a chat on the podcast if anybody else was interested of maybe going, okay, well, people have the subscription. They go, oh, Office 365 is expensive at $50. Well, I think we could do a whole podcast and all the value you could bring well in excess of $500 per user per month.
Well, I think also, too, if you
put the effort in.
Well, if you look at Microsoft 365 for $28 or whatever, the simple stuff or the stuff that you get in that is awesome, you know. And again, I think if you look at tacking on an Azure subscription and look at Azure as a consumption thing. So, again, one of the things I point to and one of the things I recommend is that you put your DNS in Azure. So Azure has the ability to have DNS zones. Now, most people, oh, why would I use that? Why wouldn't I use my existing provider, blah, blah, blah. But the big benefit you get is, guess what? Azure supports PowerShell. So that means that you can script your whole DNS record management, reporting, monitoring, everything using PowerShell. And that is a real big benefit. So I think for all the domains that I have in Azure DNS, it's costing me something like $3 a month. It's just tiny what the cost is. And the flexibility it gives me is far more powerful. And the interesting thing is that the response times are infinitely quicker than the provider that I came from. So lots and lots of benefits that are available to you. And to me, the biggest one is scripting. So if I need to move a custom domain in there into Office 365, I just use PowerShell to do the whole thing, run one script, and it's all done without making a mistake. So that is a really big advantage. So I agree, there's a lot of stuff that can be done for zero cost. There's a lot of stuff that can be done for next to nothing. And you're right, it probably is a very good option to spend a little bit of time and talk about what is possible and what we can do for, you know, under, you know, $50 or under $25 a month or something. I think it'd be a great option.
Yeah, well, if anybody's got any feedback on that or any ideas or whether they like that idea or don't like that idea, feedback@needtoknow.cloud.
Well, everybody likes that idea, Brenton, because you told me it was all positive. So, you know, you told me there was no negatives out there. So, again, at N2K Podcast on Twitter, N2K Podcast on the Facebook. Again, you can get in contact with Brenton with @ContactBrenton and @DirectorCIA for myself. I think the other thing I'd like to let people know is that I'm just about in the process of finishing off my online Office 365 security course. Currently got a bit of a discount on that before I put it up to the full price shortly, but I think I've got close to 50 lessons in there on all forms of Office 365 and Microsoft 365 security. So if you're interested in that, we'll put a link in the show notes and the discount code that will apply. Don't forget our discount code from last podcast when we were talking to Marcus Durbin. So again, that still applies. Our coupon code is CIAOps, and that'll get you 20% off. And the URL is webvime.com www.digitalnomads.com.au/book. All right, and again, that's a good, interesting read when it comes to digital transformation, really worth having a look at. So again, webvine.com.au/book is where you need to go, and use the code CIAOps to get 20% off that, and go back and listen to that podcast with Marcus to get some really good insight on digital transformation. I think with that, we're pretty much out of everything. Let me just check our list here. I think we've covered just about everything, and I expect there to be lots more information coming out now that we've finished Ignite, and we're headed off to Inspire in September. So that'll be here before long, and that will mean more and more, lots more technical information. The last thing I probably will mention is that the Azure File Sync service has gone general availability. So this is an Azure service that allows you to put a syncing agent on the file server and sync up to Azure Files and use that. So it's good to see that go GA, so that people can now look at that as an option in the cloud. But like I said, I think we're going to expect to see lots and lots more technical information roll out as we get closer and closer and closer to the Inspire. That will be in Orlando. So again, the great thing about that in most Microsoft stuff is they make it available online. So certainly think that's a good idea for you to go and have a look at what's there from Ignite, get a feel for it, and we might even have some first-hand experience coming up on that on the podcast, mightn't we, Brenton?
Oh, we might indeed.
So anything else from you?
No, that's everything from me.
Excellent. All right, well, again, I'll thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast. Please contact us with any feedback, comments, or requests that you may have, but for now, that's a wrap for episode 186.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.